Sustain our relationship with Egypt. Our traditional cooperation cannot continue as usual when civilians are being killed in the streets.
That's the president saying that there are no military exercises now with Egypt, and we can't tolerate what's happening there. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Egypt explodes, and what are we going to do about it? What should we do to help Egypt? And do we just need to back away and let them sort it out? That's where we're at this point with the horrible situation there. As someone described, the Nile is running red. And really, truly, people are being bulldozed in the streets at some of these sit-ins. It's the military versus the others mixed with Muslim Brotherhood supporters of the Mohamed Morsi regime, which, let's face it, was a coup. Even though we won't say it's a coup because there is still that possibility of dumping $1.3 billion into the hands of somebody in Egypt, which I think would be a terrible, terrible mistake. And it's turning into the next Iraq, which is very, very sad. There's chaos and confusion, and who's in charge? That's it. Who's in charge? Democratic process? I don't think so, my friends. I don't think so. So the president, who was on vacation, took a moment to hold a press conference and discuss the fact of what was unfolding in Egypt. It was very disconcerting. He released a statement from his home in Martha's Vineyard and said the, he still refrained from saying that the government overthrow, was a coup, which would have massive implications for the military and humanitarian aid with the United States, which we send to Egypt. So that's why he's avoiding that. And he's also avoiding taking any sides with anybody in the country, but they have consistently done that. Just, we want Egypt to succeed. We want a peaceful, democratic, prosperous Egypt. That's our interests. So, and then saying America can't determine the future of Egypt, that's a task for the people. Well, great. Then stay out of it. Do not dump the money there. I mean, it's a cycle of violence. And saying, oh, the escalation needs to stop. Do you think they care what Barack Obama says? No. Our strength in foreign affairs has dwindled on a scale of 1 to 10. Honestly, I really think we're at, like, maybe a 4. In fact, you may think it's a little bit less. If you want to weigh in on that, you can chip away at it, throw in your 2 cents. I don't care if you're left of left, right of right. Everybody's invited to this party called America Tonight, 855-266-5283, 855-266-KATE. So now you've got the president, who was quickly briefed on the 600 people that have been killed, and that included the defense team, Chuck Hagel, the defense secretary, Secretary of State John Kerry, then the director of national intelligence, James Clapper. So ever since this revolution that booted Hosni Mubarak, it's been really up in the air, if that's what's happened. You know, 3,700 people at least have been injured, so that's not good. I mentioned people being bulldozed. They say the number of people could go up. Churches have been torched and destroyed, so there's lots of pressure there. A couple of Republican senators, John McCain and Senator Lindsey Graham, were sent by the president to go to Egypt to try to quell what was going on, and they say clearly Morsi's ouster was a coup. But that terminology is what they're dancing around, because that affects the $1.3 billion in foreign money Egypt gets from the United States. I'll repeat this again because I had a couple of questions about it. U.S. law, folks, doesn't allow us, in a case of a military coup, to put any money into the hands of the military who's ever in charge in that situation in whatever country. And that's what the deal is. So what constantly is being hammered back is, we don't believe that we have to hasty decision determining what the right course of action is, to review a deliberate manner, to consult with Congress, to review our obligations, blah, 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 blah. That's Jay Carney, the White House spokesperson. He's so tied up in logistics and rhetoric that half the time it doesn't make any sense what he's saying when he talks about Egypt. Because when they keep getting pressed on it, there is no answer. There is no answer. It's a serious blow to any kind of reconciliation, though, that's certainly for sure. And the violence and bloodshed is bad. It's awful. Hopes for a democracy? You have to be kidding me. And it's pretty clear that we can't solve our own problems. We have lawmakers that made, what, 15 laws in an entire session? Now, there is hope in the fall they come back and come up with a few more. I don't know. But and then we're going to go in and solve other countries' problems? I don't think so. I think we exit stage right and we keep our money in our pocket. I think so. There's just no way. Morsi was who we backed. He's not going to be reinstalled. The military doesn't care. And it's an all-out assault in the streets of Egypt. Yesterday, when we were on the air, I told you about this terrible crash of a UPS plane, and the plane was a big, like, 747 loaded with cargo. So sad. Both of the pilots actually were killed in this crash. As I said, it happened in Alabama. This is radio, but the pictures, my friends, were sadly spectacular. I mean, it was really that scary to look at them. John Nance, who's a former pilot and an aviation expert, appeared all over ABC, and he talked about why it was so worrisome as to this kind of a crash with a plane like that.
Even though there doesn't seem to be any connection between these two accidents in terms of causation, it's still upsetting because we've had such a wonderful safety record for so long.
Yeah, so there has been a great safety record, as he points out, with planes. And then we had the crash of the airliner in San Francisco. Then we have this plane that comes down, and it just seems like we've had three in a row. We've had a couple of other incidents, but to have this cargo, the cargo plane hit the way it did and just fall in half and explode, it is scary. When you think, you just don't think that way when you're on planes, I believe. But when you start to see and look, look around and look at all the accidents that lately have happened, which is why he's saying that, it is definitely disconcerting. All right, coming up in this hour of America Tonight, Obamacare. How is it going to affect the individual mandate when it comes to young people? How many will actually jump on the health exchanges? And how many won't be part of the health exchanges and decide they're going to take the fine instead? And what does that do to the establishment of those? I think there are going to be a whole bunch of problems. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. But we're going to talk to a leading expert who did the analysis on it, Dr. David Hochberg, and find out some more specifics about why this is really going to blow up in the face of the administration. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. But coffee, is it good for you or is it terrible for you? What do you think? We're talking about it next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. You have medical insurance? Is your home insured? You carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Boy,
I love Java, sweet and hot. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee and fine. Shoot me the pot, now pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Oh, slip me a slug from the wonderful mug. I've got a rug just stuck in the jug. A slice of onion and a raw one. Draw one. Waiter, waiter, percolator. I love coffee, I love tea. I love the jabber jive and it loves me.
So how about it?
All
of you listening on Turquoise Radio in the UK, I know you like your tea, but you like your coffee too. How many of you listening in the United States are coffee drinkers? Starbucks is feasting on the fact that we love coffee and, yes, tea too as well. But this is about coffee. So here's the deal. Now somebody comes out with some research that says, if you are drinking 4 cups a day, you could raise your risk of dying young. And then here's the thing. It's if you are under 55, 4 cups of coffee. Well, what equates to 4 cups of coffee when you're talking about the giant sizes that they serve you in some of these coffee shops, including, as I mentioned, Starbucks, you know, the venti, the whatever size they have. I don't even know their sizes. The tall. Just give me a small coffee, okay? Here's Dr. Labby talking about coffee mortality.
High amounts of coffee, and we defined high as 28 cups per week or more, or averaging 4 or more cups per day, that there was a signal for increased mortality.
Wow, that's scary to me. I thought we were just talking about how coffee was great for us. Now we're finding out that these are the findings of a study they did. They did a large-scale study. They looked at over 43,000 people, 20 to 87. The research says, this is from the U.S., the U.S. researchers say that excessive coffee consumption affects the body's metabolism, so it outweighs some of the known health benefits, and that people with a genetic coffee addiction might be prone to the harmful effects. So they recorded in the 16-year study, 2,500 deaths, right? A third were because of heart and artery disease. People who drank more coffee were also likely to smoke and had less healthy hearts and lungs. Of course, that's smoking that you're throwing in there. They say the risk of death from all causes rose by 56% for men and women younger than 55 who drank, as the doctor just said, 28 cups of coffee a week. But think about it. You say, oh, well, 28 cups of coffee. But it's really not that much if you take a whole week and you add up the size of coffee you get, how many times during the day you drink it. I bet you a lot of people, and you might not think you are closer to that 28 number. So I thought, you know, coffee is an antioxidant. That's what I thought. I thought that it reduced inflammation, it boosted brain function, that's what I kept hearing, and that it stimulates the release of adrenaline, and but you know, this is the other part they say, it increases blood pressure, it raises the level of a harmful chemical linked to heart disease and dementia. Wow.
It seems like cortisol is going to be a big issue. You know, cortisol is going to stress you out and create a lot of high blood pressure.
Right, so if you had just too much coffee. So let's ask you this, Nathan Reeder, the glue of the show, the technical maestro. Out of the big mothership of the GCN network, are there a lot of coffee drinkers throughout the day and night?
Oh, here at the studio?
Yeah.
You know, surprisingly, not. That's really weird. You'd think these guys, you know what, we've got a lot of energy drinks. Soda's getting drank. And
soda's not good. Come on now.
No.
Soda versus coffee. Folks, what do you think is better? Are you a coffee drinker out there if you're listening to us? 855-266-5283. I would think, Nathan, that coffee is better for you than, you know, listen, if it's between coffee and soda, I think coffee is better for you.
Well, yeah, definitely. Because it's mainly just two ingredients, you know?
Right, right.
Once you get the soda going, so many binding agents and all that sugar.
Yeah, water. I mean, listen, water is the best thing you can drink, but I don't know. It's tough to just drink water every single day, every single hour of your life and not add other things to it. You know, so I drink a lot of water, but I drink coffee too. But not. I don't think I drink 28 cups of coffee a week. I don't think so.
I have been trying to do smoothies during the day. It really does wake you up pretty well. You know, you'd be surprised at how well, like, just eating something, a little bit of sugar or a little bit of food, period, will just wake you right up.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the smoothie thing is good for you because you can put all kinds of stuff in it. So the more people are starting to get that and more people are starting to jump on the smoothie bandwagon, by the way, and make their own. Absolutely. I think it's a healthy thing because of, again, you can throw fruits or you can throw vegetables or kale or whatever you want in it, and I think it tastes good. When people, you see a drink and it's really green or it looks a funny color, to me, I don't know. I've never had a smoothie that I thought was horrible. Ever.
Meanies.
Yeah. So there's my suggestion. Drink a few smoothies in between. Easy for me to say. I like coffee and I'm not going to stop drinking coffee, and you know, if one day I don't show up, you can point back to this defiance of mine on coffee. But, you know, they didn't really explain why coffee didn't affect older people in the same way. The chemicals that of course, anything of, you know, here's the thing, too much of anything is probably not good. So, if you were having a crazy amount of coffee, it probably isn't great for you. But I thought that it showed that, as I said, was a major that coffee had a major dietary source of antioxidant, and that that part of it was good for you. The blood pressure thing, I kind of get that. And for all of you Brits out there, Dr. Ewan Paul, the executive director of the British Coffee Association, said the study's limitations skewed the findings. So he's saying he's poo-pooing what Dr. Carl Levy did from the medical center in New Orleans, saying that, you know, we're having this debate about the health effects of caffeine and coffee specifically, with reports suggesting toxicity and even some beneficial effects. So Dr. Paul is saying that it's skewed. You know, the use of the questionnaire can result in recall bias, which that makes sense. You can't remember how many cups of coffee you had in the past week. And what about smoking and poor fitness? And, you know, are you in great shape when you're drinking coffee and you don't smoke? Are you in horrible shape? Are you overweight? And I, you know, it just depends, I think, on the other factors. That makes sense to me. You know, a balanced diet and a couple of cups of coffee would probably be different. But I think a lot of people hit that 28 and more mark. I do. I think that more people hit it than you can imagine. And in most businesses, when you go in fact, in the United States and in the UK, there, when you go into businesses, you know, there may be more tea offered in the UK, but there, it is very commonplace, especially in morning meetings, coffee. Hey, can I get you water, coffee, whatever? But coffee still rules. It rules both kingdoms in the U.S. and in the U.K. I mean, it's, I think it's our wake-up agent, but it's a habit thing. If you drink coffee and you go all of a sudden decide, oh, I'm not going to drink coffee for a whole week or 2 weeks, it's a crazy feeling. So there is an addictive element to it. It's, for me, it's just that, it's just a wake-up thing. It's, okay, now it's coffee time and it's relaxing, but I'm going to still drink my coffee. I know about the rest of you. Send me your thoughts on coffee and how it's affecting you at americatonight.net. Hang with us. We're talking Obamacare next here on America Tonight.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Coffee.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Micro Plant Powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with Micro Plant Powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
Knock upon my door, said, "Don't you know you're gonna die someday?"
Welcome back to America. Tonight we've been talking a lot about the effects of Obamacare and projecting it out and some of the things that are possibly happen in the near future. Dr. David Hochberg, who's joined us several times on the show, always a terrific guest, had a piece out today. Dr. Hochberg, the healthcare policy analyst for the National Center for Public Policy Research. There's a big headline and something that I was sent and passed on to some of my colleagues, and this comes from Dr. Dave. Over 3.7 million young adults will be at least $500 better off if they avoid the Obamacare exchanges. And we're talking also 18 to 34 are going to have a big financial incentive to pay the individual mandate penalty instead of buying insurance in 2014. This is something that we talked about that seemed pretty obvious, like it was going to happen. The handwriting was on the wall really years ago, and now it's just playing out. Doc, thanks for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate it. And really, when you crunch the numbers, so over 3.7 million young adults, what was the purpose of setting it up then?
That's a good question. One purpose might have been the hope that this thing would actually work. I think the architects of Obamacare were certainly hoping that with subsidies and the individual mandate penalty, that you would be able to get enough young people into the exchanges, and hence, you know, it would work. But basically, what I found with this study is that the subsidies and the mandate penalty for next year are probably not going to be sufficient to get enough of the young invincibles, people ages 18 to 34. poor, who are single and childless, into the exchanges. There's probably about roughly 6 million of those who are eligible for the exchanges. About 3.7 million of them, as you noted, would pay well over $500 out of pocket for premiums on the exchange, and so they can save $500 by just avoiding the exchanges and paying the penalty. And there's 3 million of those who would actually save $1,000 by doing the same thing. So there's probably just not going to be enough young, healthy people going on to the exchanges to make it viable.
Yeah, so for the exchanges, and I don't know this, and I'm sure it may vary from state to state, but generally, to be able to be eligible to participate in the exchanges, what's just the basic things that you would have to have anyway to be a part of an exchange?
Well, pretty much you would have to be either uninsured or in the individual market, and you really wouldn't have to, or you wouldn't be able to join. Well, let me back up here. You would be able to join if you got even if you had an offer of insurance from your employer. But if the exchange determined that the offer from your employer was sufficient, then you could still get insurance from the exchange, but you would not qualify for a subsidy. On the other hand, if it was deemed insufficient, then you would qualify for a subsidy. And until the Obama administration suspended the employer mandate, in that case, the employer would actually be penalized for that as well, but not anymore.
So,
at least not next year.
yeah, not next year. The other thing is, I was wondering this, what about all these people that fall into the unemployment trap? What happens then?
Well, people who are unemployed, that's a good question. It would kind of depend on, at what point you became unemployed during the year. I suspect a lot of them, to the extent that they take up, health insurance, might go on to Medicaid. But, if you're in a brief spell of unemployment, it probably doesn't matter very much.
Mm. The other thing was the health exchanges in the first place. As you know, there was a lot of tug of war over this in many of the states. I don't know that they're all set up. Isn't that part of the problem? That's why there was a big push to try to move it, because there were states that also were refusing to do the health exchanges. And now is the government forcing them that you have to have this in place, whether you like it or not?
Well, that was kind of the controversy, and later has led to some problems, because initially the feds wanted to force the states to do it, and someone pointed out that no, under the Constitution you can't really do that. So they threw this other section into Obamacare saying that if you don't set up an exchange, the feds can come in and set up an exchange in your state. And basically, right now about 27 states have actually decided to let the federal government run their exchange. They don't want to, they don't want to set it up. Seven states are setting up sort of this hybrid exchange where the state and the federal government share authority. And 16 states in Washington, D.C. are actually setting them up on their own. What seems to be going on right now, there is some newspaper article suggesting that the states that have actually set up their own exchanges, some of those, especially Colorado is one that comes to mind, looks like they're going to be pretty much ready on time as far as it goes. It's the federal exchanges that no one knows. Like, for example, I believe it was either the Office of Inspector General for Health and Human Services released a report basically saying that some of the safeguards that are supposed to be in place to protect people's privacy on the federal exchanges, they won't know until really the day before the exchanges are supposed to be up
and operational, whether or not those safeguards will be in place. And even the state exchanges are going to have to rely on this thing called the Data Hub in D.C., which is supposed to match your information with information from the IRS and some other agencies. And, you know, no one's still sure whether or not that Data Hub is going to be really up and running at this point. To some extent, we know that parts of it won't be. The Obama administration basically said that, you're kind of on the honor system when you go to apply on the exchange and apply for a subsidy. We're going to take it on the honor system that you report your income properly and don't report it improperly to hence qualify for even more of a subsidy, which basically implies they're not going to be able to link it up to your IRS data, at least at this point.
Yeah, and they hired all those IRS agents. It'll be interesting, that whole cat and mouse game that will eventually unfold there. You've talked about this. You've talked about this leading to a death spiral. For people that are hearing you, Dr. Hogberg, for the first time, what do you mean by that, and what's the consequences of the death spiral?
Yeah, death spiral occurs when an insurance pool doesn't have enough young and healthy people in it who, you know, usually don't have much in the way of medical claims, and enough of those people to cross-subsidize the people who are older and sicker and, you know, generally do have more medical claims. Basically, what happens in those situations is that premiums then go up to cover the expenses of the older and sicker. The young and healthy, the ones that are in the pool drop out. Even more of them drop out. The pool gets even older and sicker. Premiums rise again. Eventually, what happens is insurers will start dropping out of that market because they can't make a profit off of it, and so you have fewer insurers competing and so forth. And this is something that could very well happen to the exchanges. I would argue is very likely to happen in my new study, because again, the incentives that these 18 to 34 year olds face to basically not buy insurance on the exchanges and instead pay the penalty, because by doing so they could easily save $500 or more dollars by doing so. And you have to understand that a lot of these folks are not exactly, have very modest income. You're talking, $20,000, $25,000. $500 to them is a lot of money. I mean, that could easily be, a month's rent, could pay for a couple months of groceries, and so forth. So without them in the exchanges could very well be headed toward a death spiral where eventually insurance prices become so high that, it's really almost unaffordable for most people, and only really the sickest people participate.
The people opting out that you mentioned, the 18 to 34, do you think it'll be mostly the men, or men and women, or, who knows?
Well, at this point, it's hard to say. One of the things I noted in my study, when I looked at the folks who had at least $1,000 worth of incentive not to join the exchanges, and I broke it down by data, I found that almost two-thirds of those were men. What does this mean? Well, women tend to use more for a variety of reasons, just tend to use more health care than men on average. You'd really like this population to come into the exchanges, especially the men, because, they're the ones that you're definitely going to need to, make few medical claims and would really be good to have, so that you can, again, cross-subsidize the people that are older and sicker. So, if these people don't come on the exchanges, again, you're missing out on people, many of whom, just do not make much in the way of medical claims.
Dr. David Hogberg, always a pleasure to have you on this show. Thank you so much for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thank you for having me on, and you can read the study at nationalcenter.org.
Thanks, David. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new Justin Case Pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Sham joins us from Oxnard, California, and that, of course, is where the Dallas Cowboys are training. Brad, how are you?
Oh, Kate, I'm great. It's good to be with you.
The big news for people, of course, people are listening in Texas and listening around the country, but a big news from the Cowboys is the fact that now they are moving their training facility, pumping a whole bunch of money into another suburb outside of Dallas, Frisco. They're going to have a Frisco facility, and a lot was made about this around the horn. From your perspective of thinking of all the years that you've logged over there at Valley Ranch, what does this mean for the Cowboys? Is it just a fresh coat of paint and creating some more excitement and that kind of thing?
I think it's about upgrading the facilities. I guess there was a similar hue and cry when they moved from when I started covering this team. The offices were in an office building at Central Expressway in Yale on the 11th floor, and the practice field was in a really ramshackle Quonset hut with a football field built alongside it out at Forest Lane and LBJ. And when they moved to Valley Ranch in the early 80s, there was a big buzz about that, and everybody got used to it, and the world didn't stand on its head, and that was about being state of the art. And that's what this is about. They're as good as the facility is at Valley Ranch, There are some things that they can't do because of space limitations and because of the age of the facility, and they had an opportunity in Frisco with some land that they owned and some land that the city of Frisco owned to get together and do something kind of next level, and that it's just business. It's just the business of business, and it's 3 years down the road. When it opens, I'm sure it'll be tremendous.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so you're in Oxnard, and you've been there for a while, and you're observing, obviously, what's happening there. To you, what is the biggest story that nobody's really talking about when it comes to the Cowboys?
Oh, that's a good one. That's one of the best questions I've been asked out here, because the things that people talk about are the shift to the 4-3 defense and Tony Romo. And so I think the things that nobody's talking about really is the fact that their offensive line might be decent. They've got two guys. Now, they've only played 2 of 5 preseason games. They got a ways to go. But Travis Frederick, no one's talking about this. Everybody jumped on their back and killed him for drafting Travis Frederick in the first round. And everybody said it was a reach, and he should have been a third-round pick, and blah, blah, blah. And I always have believed that whatever that conversation is, once you've got the guy, it doesn't matter where he was drafted. It matters how he plays. And nobody's talking about the fact that he's playing pretty good. And, in fact, all the conversation that they're having with the other potential veteran guards, Brandon Moore fell through, they're kind of still looking at Brian Waters, all of that is less because they're worried about Mackenzie Bernardo or whoever is going to play right guard, and more because they're so in love with what Travis Frederick is doing at center, they don't want to be tempted to move him in order to get their 5 best linemen on the field. Now, if Frederick plays the way he's looked like he's capable of playing, and the young left guard, Ron Leary, who was pretty much on the practice squad all last year as a free agent coming out of Memphis, he's looked tremendous. If those two guys play like they have looked like so far they're going to play, it's a whole different offensive line. It's a whole different feel and concept than what they had a year ago. And I'm not predicting that they're going to be great, but if they do turn out to be solid, then it just takes a little upgrade from the right tackle and a little consistency from the right guard for them to be able to do everything on offense that they want to do. Not many people are talking about that.
All right, there you go. Great. Travis Frederick, we'll look for that to happen, see what happens the rest of camp and then going into the season. Jason Garrett, and you know this, Brad, it's different when you're with the team covering them. You really understand. You really know what's going on. But to the rest of the outside world, I can't tell you how many times I've heard on the tube somewhere on the radio in some other city about Jason Garrett, and he's on the hot seat, and this is it. And if they don't win the Super Bowl, Jerry Jones is going to cut him loose. There's no truth to that, right?
I don't believe there is, and you know, the only thing we know for sure is what the owner says, and he says it's not the truth. It's not the case. And my belief is that Jerry wants this thing to succeed, and if he wants it to succeed, he's going to have some patience. And every indication is that Jason Garrett is more on more solid footing with his players than he's ever been. He has their respect. He has the locker room. He is, I think, benefiting from being the full-time head coach, from not being the offensive coordinator, also not calling the plays. I think it's very evident the extent to which he's involved in all aspects of the operation and how much he knows about it. You can listen to any press conference and see how conversant he is with every phase of the game. And I now look, if they go 2-12 or 2-13, whatever the math, I'm no good at math, Kate. If it's actually be 2-14 or 4-12 or something with no injuries, if they just stink and they don't have any injuries, that wouldn't be good. I don't think he'd survive that. For the same reason that Wade Phillips didn't survive a 1-7 start in 2010, but that team quit on him. And I don't think these guys are in any way, shape, or form about to quit on Jason Garrett, and they're not bad, and they might be real good. So, yeah, I think Jason Garrett's here for a while, and I think he's going to be a great head coach.
The you know, people are looking at DeMarcus Ware, and of course, who doesn't know the name DeMarcus Ware, who follows the NFL, not just Cowboy fans. Certainly he's one of the best pass rushers in the league, but last year he had some problems with injury, and of course now just back making a little bit of appearance in the preseason. How does he look to you, Brad?
He looks great. He looks healthy and happy, and I would say that the best player on the field for them in this if they were giving a player of training camp award, it would go to Dez Bryant because he's been dazzling. Sean Lee and DeMarcus Ware would be right behind him. And Ware's in a great frame of mind. He looks tremendous. He looks quick, and he's going to be in a defense. You know, I've never coached, but I never did understand the wisdom of a defense that had DeMarcus Ware running in the opposite direction from the quarterback. And that's what he was doing when he was dropping into coverage.
Yeah.
And this is a defense that's going to let him be aggressive and go forward. And he looks, he's as hungry as he's ever been for the team to win. And he looks to me like he's really, really poised for a big year.
Yeah, you're a prep monster. You like to look at other teams, and you're so up on all of that. That when you, and of course you're immersed in the Dallas Cowboys, but looking at the East and the NFC East, who do you think may be the toughest competition in the division for the Cowboys?
Kate, I think that the division is more wide open on paper coming into the year than it's been in a very long time. I think they're all flawed, all four teams. I think that if you were going to pick someone, you'd have to pick Washington because the teams are so even, and Washington is the defending champion. They've got a spectacular young quarterback, and they're going to get back one or two really key pieces of their defense that were injured last year, particularly Brian Arakpo. And so I think that it would make sense to pick them. But they're far from perfect. The Giants are far from perfect. The Cowboys are far from perfect. Same with the Eagles. I think any of the four teams could win the division. I also think the strength of the conference is other places. There are two or three really good teams and a potential sleeper or two in the South. Same thing with the West. I think probably the same thing with the North. My guess, sitting here in early to mid-August, is that it's going to be tough for the NFC East to produce a wild card. That could change, but that's my guess right now. And if that were to hold up, then someone's going to have to win the division to get in the playoffs. And I think that the competition for the Cowboys is from all three teams equally, and I think the Cowboys are also in that competition. I think all four teams are on pretty even footing coming into the year.
Thanks to the great Brad Sham, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys, as you heard him say, in one of the heated divisions, the NFC East, giving you some sports, a little sports shorts, a preview of things to come in the NFL, because remember, we do our Nail the Score deal here once a week on America Tonight. Starting in week one of the NFL, we'll pick the game of the week. Our computer will, you calling, you don't even have to know about football. You decide who you think's going to win the game between the two teams and what the final score will be. If you correctly nail it, you win the booty. You win all the prizes and the bragging rights. Thanks for listening to America Tonight.
Safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Tees. Renovate your health one bag at a time.